The title of this talk is You Are What You Eat. And it carries on in the lifestyle series that we're doing. And just for our visitors, to let you know where it fits in. When God set up this fellowship, he told us to base this on the book of Ephesians. So for a number of weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, we studied the book of Ephesians. And the starting third of Ephesians is about what God has done for us. How he has sent his son, who died for us, that we might have our sins forgiven and be reconciled to God and to the commonwealth of Israel. And how we became a new man out of that. And having become a new man, we should change the way we live. It should have such an impact on us, we shouldn't do the things that we used to before we were Christians. And so what he's impressed on us is to run this series on lifestyle. And we've had, the first one was about a lifestyle of giving. Last week we talked about timing, how you give your time and how your time can be wasted. And this week we're talking about you are what you eat. And when we started the fellowship, we said to everybody, this will be a safe place, but you're going to be challenged. And I don't know about you, but we've only been in it 2 weeks, and already God's challenged me to my roots. So if none of today applies to you, it's certainly going to apply to me. And I want to remind you of the phrase that I started with. The reason we're doing this, it's to change our habits so that when an incident occurs around us, no matter how small, we react in a godly way and not a worldly way. And in my experience is that people around you then ask the question, what makes you different? And then you have a chance to give an answer to the hope you have set before you. And I'd like to ask Ali to briefly come up and give a testimony.
Phil's just asked me to give you a little testimony about something that happened this week. For most of you that know, Mark and I actually aren't going to be here much longer. And as a result of that, we both gave our notice at work last week. And I was really shocked and blessed by the reaction that I got. A lot of my team actually really cried, and as a result, over the past week, there's been a lot of conversations that have happened about why we're doing this and how we can give up our securities and things like that, which has been great, because I've been able to say, well, our securities aren't worldly securities, they are in God. But I was at a meeting on Tuesday this week, and that's why I was late for house group, because this lady, well, I was at the meeting, and at the end of it she said, have you got time, could you stop, I just need to talk to you. And I said, yeah, sure. So we were talking, and she shared with me, she said, I want to tell you this because I don't want you to go without knowing. And she said, I need to say it out loud as well, but she said, I want you to know that in the whole of the last year that you've been here, you have been my safe place at work. And she said, you have never judged me, you have never condemned me, you've done nothing but empower me and encourage me. And this lady has suffered with depression, and she's struggled with her work. She's managed to get other areas of her life in order, but struggled in particular with her work. And she said, I've actually come to the place where I know that I can come to work because you're going to be there, which just completely blessed me. And then she said, and on from that, she said, I've gone back to church. And she said, I have actually, her partner's been asking her to marry him for a long time, and she's been fearful of that. And she's actually said yes to it now. And the church that she's gone to has agreed to marry them as well. So.
Bless you, Ali. You are what you eat. Let's read Philippians 4, just a few verses. verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Physically, what you eat can affect your body. I mean, if you eat nothing but red meat, eventually it will clog up your arteries. If you eat loads of potatoes and bread and cake and sweets and all things sugary, there's a good chance you'll put weight on. You know, if you live in the south of France, where they drink a lot of wine and they drink a lot of strong wine, you could develop gout because of what you take into your body. And let's face it, we can always tell a heavy beer drinker just by looking at him, can't we? And of course, carrots can affect you as well. We had a friend who, unfortunately, is no longer with us, who developed cancer. And being a doctor, one of the things he found out was that carotene can actually help to reduce the effect of the cancer. So he started eating carrots. He ate so many carrots that when we saw him after about 3 or 4 weeks, he turned orange. You see, what you eat physically can affect you. But will it affect our souls and our spirit? Forget the structure of our makeup is body, soul and spirit. Before we were a Christian, it was really body, soul and dead spirit. And it was the physical body that controlled our emotions, and the spirit didn't get a play in. But when you came to God and put your faith in Jesus, then he born again, your spirit. And now we have a different picture where your spirit is talking to the Holy Spirit, which should be controlling your soul, which is your emotions, your will, and that in turn should control your physical body. But what we eat can affect our souls and emotions, in as much as, you know, if you're overweight, our physical well-being isn't as good as it should be. It can make us sluggish, or we can have lack of energy. It could make us hyperactive. You know, our daughter Jo, we've quickly learnt that we didn't give her Chewits. You remember Chewits? I don't know whether they have them today. The orange Chewit was so full of E numbers that she would have a Chewit and be as high as a kite. You could take her out and fly her, which was very good for her, because when she got a bit older and she went out drinking with her friends, they were spending money on alcohol, she'd just buy a packet of Chewits and she was higher than they were. It will affect our spirits, but only in as much as it makes us sluggish or hyperactive, and that can deaden or dampen our spirit. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15:11. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth, this defiles a man. And then he went on in verse 17 and said, "Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated." That's the polite way of saying it. "But those things which proceed from the mouth come from the heart. That's what defiles the man." So it's not the physical that we eat that makes us spiritually what we are. So what is it? In Ephesians 4, let's read Ephesians 4. You shouldn't need to look it up, of course, because we've studied Ephesians. You'll know what this is. Starting at verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what Jesus did for us. His death on the cross, reconciling us to God, creating us a new man, so that we could have a relationship with Father. That relationship with Father, which he wants more than you want with him. He's desperate. How desperate? Well, he gave his son to die for us. That's why it's desperate. And he says, put off the old man and renew your feet. No, he doesn't. He says, renew your mind. And we read in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, praiseworthy things, meditate, use your mind on these things. So what can affect us? You know, often when we're doing ministry, especially where maybe some deliverance is involved, we ask people to keep their eyes open. Because the eyes are the window of the soul. And sometimes when you're doing ministry, you know, when you ask somebody to pray, their first effect is to close their eyes. And I remember Peter's words, if you have trouble keeping your eyes open when you're praying, try practicing while you're driving the car, because it solves the problem one way or the other. The eyes are the window of the soul. And if you, and we have done ministry and asked people to open their eyes, and what you see looking back at you isn't the person. It's what's inside them, and sometimes it's not very nice. Now, eyes being the window of the soul, the main impact on our soul and our spirit happens through our eyes. What we watch, TV, films, plays, reading books, playing games. And it's not just our eyes, but our ears also. We listen to words that aren't according to the verse in Philippians. You know, and some of the lyrics of some of the songs, certainly that have come out in the last 30 years, are horrendous. And yet they just seem to wash over people, and it can affect us. The recent events at Whitehaven prompted support from the people of Hungerford. And that's really, really, I was really pleased to see that. If you remember the Hungerford massacre. Because sometimes when you've been through something, God will use you to minister to somebody else who's going through the same thing. And I was reminded that the man who perpetrated the shooting at Hungerford was captured, and he told the police the reason he'd done it was because he was playing Dungeons and Dragons, and his spirit guides had told him to go out and kill people so he could gain more power. You see, games like this and the World of Warcraft, which has taken over from Dungeons and Dragons, and there are loads of them now, where the basis of the game is to invite spirits into yourself to give you more power to play the game, is there any wonder that our children and adults are growing up slightly off-centre to the way that God intended? Now, I don't want to make any further comments other than to say what we take in through our eyes and our ears affect our spirit, which in turn affects our soul, and in turn affects our physical body. You know, you often hear the comment that somebody, why do Christians look so young? I mean, I just have to look around the room. But you look at somebody who's steeped in the occult and they look old. Why do you always see pictures of witches as old women? Because dealing in the occult makes you old. It affects your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now here's a story from our life of how subtle it can be. Before we moved here, we lived in Corfmullen. And our daughter was, youngest daughter was about 4. And she loved Care Bears. Do you remember the Care Bears? She had everything associated with it. And when we moved here, she was really upset because she had a pristine bedroom and wanted it to look like Care Bears. So she had everything. She had Care Bear wallpaper, she had Care Bear carpet, she had Care Bear duvet, she had Care Bear books, she had Care Bear pictures, she had Care Bear videos. Do you remember videos? They were the things you used to slide in and out. She had Care Bear toys. And then we learnt some teaching about the effect that children, the effect on children of reading and playing with stuff which are involved in magic. You see, the Care Bears all are associated with magic. And we learnt this and we understood it. And we said, but Lord, how can we tell a 4-year-old that she cannot play with the things that she loves anymore? So we prayed a prayer, Lord, you've got to deal with it because we can't. And just left him to it. And we came home one Sunday after church. We're doing the dinner or whatever you do in the kitchen after church. And we could hear this commotion going on. Went upstairs. And there was a heap on the landing. She had thrown everything of Care Bears out. Her duvet, her books, her toys. She was ripping the wallpaper off the wall. She'd have dug up the carpet. This is a 4-year-old. God had so implanted in her soul that it was wrong, she was throwing it out. And it got replaced. Because the impact on that child could have been quite phenomenal. And I speak to sort of children, parents, grandparents, parents-to-be. Just think about what your children, you allow your children to play with, because what they take in through their eyes will affect their spirit. But what can we do about it? Ephesians 4 and 5, you know, we, hang on, I've gone backwards. The first thing we have to do is think of the first thing that they need when, if so I've been told, if you're an alcoholic, right? If you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing they want you to do is to admit that you've got a problem. So the problem we have is to admit we've got a problem. Not all problems are as big as being involved in the wrong games and all of that. But all can be addictive. And because of that, they affect our spirits. And the enemy does not want you to have a relationship with Father God. So he will try every deception and every trick in the book to mar that relationship or to make it less than it could be. We talked about giving and how we chose to give to God because he first gave to us. We talked about time and how our time can be stolen away from us so we don't spend time and build that relationship with him. Now we're talking about our minds, how the things that we put through our eyes can hold us back from the perfect or certainly better relationship with Father. Once we admit we have a problem, no matter how small, we then need to seek help. And it may just be being accountable to someone, but it might take more than that. A couple of friends who both happen to be pastors asked me to be a buddy to them. apparently on your computer, you can have a bit of software which will monitor what you look at on the internet. And if you look at anything that's untoward, it would then email your buddy and let them know that you've done it. So it was supposed to stop you doing it. I refused both of them because it isn't the issue. If they don't trust themselves enough not to look without Big Brother watching over them, that isn't the answer. There's an underlying problem which needs to be solved and dealt with. If you struggle with an issue and you cannot break free of it, no matter how small it is, you might need some prayer ministry. And the lie is, it's not that bad. You don't play games. You know, it's not an issue. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's anything you need to think about. But please, please, please don't worry about it. After all, what did Jesus say in Luke 4:18? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He came to set the captives free. And if you've got something you can't stop doing, then you're captive to it. And if, whether it's playing the computer, watching TV, films, games, whatever is driving your life, stealing your joy, stealing your time with God, even stealing your money, it's holding you captive. When we were talking in Ephesians, we came to the end of Ephesians, of Ephesians 6, which talks about the armour of God. The reason for having the armour of God was, as you remember, was not to go out and do battle, but it was actually to be able to stand. You know, when we joined up, we gave our lives to Jesus and we said to him, yes. And at that time, we became a target for principalities and powers. Not that we go out and take them on, but we'll be talking about that later on in the series. But as in Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done it all, stand. But there is one more thing I'd like to say. Before we became a Christian, we may have read, watched, seen things that dampened our spirits. Things may have been planted, sleepers in us, a demonic presence that is waiting to cause havoc. That now you're a Christian, it rises up and you don't understand why you do something or can't stop what you're doing. The answer is the same. Admit it, seek help, and get it removed. You know, before I was a Christian, I was enamoured with Dennis Wheatley books. If anybody has read one of them, you'll know that they are not very Christian. They are demonic. They're all about the occult. So when we became a Christian, we needed to get rid of the effects of the books that we've been reading out of our lives. Otherwise, probably today, standing here in the role that I've got now, it would rise up and trip me up and stop me doing it. And it's very important to do that. But it's the things that go in through our mind that are important. So in that armour of God, there is one thing. Remember, it was built like a Roman soldier, because Paul had a Roman soldier. He was probably chained to him, so it was sort of easy for him to understand. And that's to put on the helmet of salvation. Why? So it would protect your mind. Salvation, the real thought of what salvation is, that you are saved. By whom? What's he done? You are saved. It's a forever. It's not a short-term thing. So that armour, that helmet of salvation, will help you to protect your mind. But please, I'm not saying that all of the things that are talked about, the TV, the books, the films, that they're in their own place are wrong. But when they become obsessive, then they can be. You know, when we were at our last church many years ago, Jill and I ran Pathfinders. And one of the series that we used to show the kids was a short film called about McGee and Me. You remember it? Anybody? McGee was, it was about a teenage boy, and he was a very good artist. He used to draw pictures, and he used to draw a little character, McGee. But McGee would come to life, and he would be his conscience, a bit like Jiminy Cricket. And for those of you who are old enough to remember. And on this one occasion, I remember, they were showing a 3D, with the red and yellow, red and green glasses, horror movie at the pictures. And he and his two mates wanted to go. And they were determined they were going to go and see this. But his father said, please, 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 don't go. And of course McGee's going, no, you've been told not to go, you can't go. But they went, they snuck in, and they watched it for 10 minutes, and then they were so horrified they rushed home again. And his father sort of knew he'd been, and his father said, you know, the reason why I didn't want you to go was because what you have now seen is indelibly written on your memory, and therefore it will work. Now you can deal with the effects, and God can erase that by his grace, but why put it there in the first place? Yes, of course, there will always be your own choice. But there's nothing wrong with reading a book. There's nothing wrong with watching TV or even playing a computer game. It's about the content and the control. And if you don't have the control, then something else does. And we need the Holy Spirit to see where our lifestyle falls short in the pursuit of Him. Why don't we stand?